Let's all turn in our Bibles this afternoon to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I have a message today about the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to one of the many false gospels being propagated today. However, before the message, I do have a brief update on the COVID-19 battlefront. As we discussed last week, for those of you who are facing employers demanding that you either get the COVID vaccine or get out, I have been working on a vaccine resistance and exemption package to include a statement of faith and doctrine from our church explaining our biblical position that Christians should neither get the vaccine nor wear face masks. And also, since the traitors in Congress have given the vaccine manufacturers carte blanche exemption from any liability, but employers have not been given such exemption. The package also includes a form to give your employers to sign. Ask them to sign if they insist. It says they assume all legal liability and will cover all damages in the event that you suffer any injury or death from the vaccine. However, I don't expect any of them to sign that. I do apologize that my package is still not quite ready to present today. It requires serious fact-checking and documentation, since it may end up in litigation somewhere. Lord willing, I hope to have it ready for our midweek meeting or for perhaps for next Lord's Day. I don't know how effective it will be, but it may help, at least temporarily. As I mentioned earlier, last Sunday, the lone voice of reason in the Senate, Rand Paul, posted a video to Twitter stating that it's time for Americans to resist the COVID-19 tyranny. In pertinent part, here's an abbreviated quote from Rand Paul's public statement. It's time for us to resist. They can't arrest all of us. They can't keep all your kids home from school. They can't keep every government building closed. He said, Nancy Pelosi, you will not arrest or stop me or anyone on my staff from doing our jobs. We will make our own health choices. We will not show you a passport. We will not wear a mask. And we will not be forced into random screenings and testing so you can continue your drunken with power reign over the Capitol. Which we'd all say amen. He said, President Biden, we will not accept your agency's mandates or your reported moves towards a lockdown. He said, no one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. I wish he'd said more on that point, but he did say that. No one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. And if you want to shut down federal agencies again, some of which aren't even back to work yet, I will stop every bill coming to the Senate with an amendment to cut their funding if they don't come back to work in person. He said, local bureaucrats and union bosses, we will not allow you to do more harm to our children again this year. Children are not at any more risk from COVID than they are from the seasonal flu. That's major. That's a major statement coming from a U.S. senator. He said, there is no reason for mask mandates, part-time schools, or any lockdown measures. Children are falling behind in school and are being harmed physically and psychologically by the tactics that you have used to keep them from the classroom during the last year. We won't allow it again. Well, we shouldn't have allowed it the first time. If a school system attempts to keep children from full-time in-person school, I will hold up every bill with two amendments, one to defund them and another to allow parents a choice of where the money goes for their children's education. He said more than that, but that gets the point across. I certainly say amen to most of what Rand Paul said there, except for two things, and that was it was both too little and too late. First, it's way past time to resist. We've been resisting since March of last year, 15 months ago. And secondly, though, I'm thankful that Rand Paul mentioned the CDC's anti-science mandate. I wish he would have said much more along those lines, but he's actually probably holding back, knowing that Twitter would ban him if he said too much. But as a physician and an eye surgeon who himself says he has worked in emergency rooms and studied immunology and virology, and also as a senator who has personally grilled the lying, mass-murdering Jesuit Anthony Fauci on the Senate floor, Rand Paul knows far more about the dangers of these vaccines and the worthlessness of face masks in preventing the spread of viral infection than he released in his public statement. And I do wish or hope that he'll come out with all the truth and that he would do so on the Senate floor and on the record, on the congressional record, whatever the cost. I hope he'll do that. And that could possibly do far more good for the country than by merely recommending that the DOJ prosecute Jesuit Fauci for lying to Congress. which recommendation he did make, but that just fell on deaf ears behind smiling faces anyway. And so sadly, Rand Paul's statement was too little and too late. He may come out with more, we'll see. Either way, the battle is definitely heating up out there. The parasitic days are coming very soon. We're not just employers, but the federal government will probably demand that all of us get the jab. For purposes of this update, I do want to quote briefly from a brief section of Joel Skousen's recent World Affairs brief from last week. He said, "Where is the American resistance to COVID tyranny? Thousands have taken to the streets of Paris and Rome to protest new laws this week requiring proof of vaccination before boarding flights, trains, and public transportation, and barring unvaccinated from entering bars, restaurants, and other businesses. As thousands protested the expanded COVID passport rules coming into effect on Monday, protesters were especially outraged by French police, who immediately started patrolling cafes and are demanding to see citizens' vaccine papers. Papers, please, just like during Nazi Germany. Just like Vichy France under Nazi occupation all over again, your papers, please. Italy's protests are also against new vaccine requirements for teachers and university students. Almost all protesters are vaccine resistors in one way or another. And they resent being cut off from normal commerce by exercising their right not to take a vaccine they consider dangerous. These groups are in the minority, just like in America, but they're making their voices heard, despite efforts by mainstream media to downplay their actions. But where is the similar outrage in America? He says, "We seem to be content to watch videos about how bad the medical tyranny is without action." He says, "The time has come to change that, because the longer people get accustomed to compliance, the easier it will be for the courts to rubber stamp these mandates when challenges do arrive." That's a good point. Vaccine mandates are already beginning, and they're about to become a flood once the FDA puts their stamp of approval on these dangerous vaccines, which apparently is about to happen. He writes, continuing here, "Pierce Robinson, co-director of the Organization for Propaganda Studies, is an internationally recognized expert on propaganda, but not just any propaganda, war propaganda. He's an expert on that, Pierce Robinson. He spoke at length about the propaganda aspects of the COVID-19 in an August 4th interview with Asia Pacific Today of Australia. Quote, COVID-19, he says, probably one of the biggest propaganda operations we've seen in history because of the global nature and resources put into it. Robinson said it was pretty clear from the beginning that propaganda was being employed. He says in the U.S., one of the main spigots of propaganda has been Dr. Anthony Fauci and the media's elevation of this man to godlike status, which they do. See, portraying him as this expert, hanging on his every word and never pressing him to provide data to back up his constantly swerving pronouncements, contradicting himself over and over. Every Western government has their version of Fauci, he says. And my guess is they're all Jesuits, commandeered by the Vatican, just like he is. Very proud of being a Jesuit. I should play that clip again. Every Western government has their version of Fauci, spouting ever-changing, confusing information meant to keep the populace off balance, afraid, and confused. A fearful, dazed, and weary public is less able to resist a dizzying array of draconian policies coming from governments, from face mask rules and incessant testing to quarantines of the healthy and mandatory mass vaccinations. In his latest effort to prepare Americans for even greater medical tyranny, Fauci got on national TV August 8th. And said a flood of new COVID vaccine mandates are coming down the pike as soon as the shots get FDA approval, which he expects to happen as soon as next month. I saw also the FDA announced the same thing. They're working on that. They're going to give approval, carte blanche to these vaccines. He writes, corporations are already piling on. Forbes reported August 8th that companies are not only threatening to fire the unvaccinated, they're beginning to tack on a special surcharge of up to $50 for employees, deducting it from the paychecks of those who refuse the experimental shot. They're docking the money out of their paychecks. Fauci has literally terrorized the American public for 18 months, wearing them down with a steady diet of propaganda. End quote from that particular propaganda expert. But continuing briefly with what Joel said, Dr. Fauci did in fact announce this week that he expects a flood of COVID vaccine mandates as soon as the FDA gives these falsely named vaccines full approval. He's delighted with it. He further claimed, now isn't the time for individual freedom, and predict the full FDA approval within the coming weeks. I'll skip the rest of Fauci's statement there. Well, no, I won't. Here, listen to this. CNN's resident globalist, Chuck Todd, turned the conversation with Dr. Fauci towards mandatory vaccines. He asked whether the Biden administration will attempt to create conditions to allow private businesses and other entities to do vaccine mandates. Fauci responded, "And I strongly support that, of course. Time has come when we've got to go the extra step to get people vaccinated. You want to persuade them, that's good. And I believe that some people, on their own, once it gets approval as a full approval, will go ahead and get vaccinated. But for those who do not want it, I believe mandates at the local level need to be done. Organizations, enterprises, universities, colleges that have been reluctant to mandate at the local level will feel much more confident. They can say, if you want to come to this college or this university, you've got to get vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera." And so Joel continues, "That's exactly what Tyson Foods did this week. All their 120,000 employees are being forced to take the jab or lose their job. 120,000 employees. A mere dozen people out of a Tyson factory of 650 people took to the streets to protest. Sadly, that's not enough to impress a big globalist firm like Tyson." End quote. I suggest that we all stop buying Tyson foods, Tyson chicken, anything like that. Let's go to Purdue or whatever, or local stuff from Publix or whatever. But stop buying Tyson foods. Now, the fact of the matter is that, by and large, Americans will not resist this tyranny. The vast majority of dumbed down, duped Americans simply trust the nightly network news as their source of prophetic truth, as their oracle of divine revelation from their all-supreme lawgiver and their true God, the United States government, for whom they will mindlessly get in line to get their booster patch, perhaps a mark in their right hand. Just like in the days of ancient history, when out of all Babylon there were only three protesters, three young men in their late teens or maybe early 20s who stood up to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, O king. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king," they said. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They said, "We'll burn before we bow." And we need to do the same thing today. Which brings me to today's message. Beginning in Galatians chapter 1. Paul usually opened his epistles with words of commendation for the churches that he wrote to.